The E-Commerce School Podcast is brought to you by Fulfill.io. I found in my studies of hundreds of e-commerce stores that operational efficiency is far more important than almost anything else in terms of determining your success. And that's why you should take a look at Fulfill. It's the only cloud ERP designed to help you efficiently and, most importantly, profitably scale your 8- and 9-figure brand. It does that through helping you identify operational bottlenecks that you can solve, providing better forecasting and supply chain planning and PO management, and also leveraging their powerful warehouse management system, which results in fewer mispicks for better customer experience. They're the highest rated ERP in our community, not NetSuite, not Scubana or Odoo, but Fulfill. So start focusing on growing profitably and check them out at ecommercefuel.com/Fulfill. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the largest and most popular upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 Shopify Plus stores. Man, it is hard to get people to your store these days, whether you're doing organic or whether you're trying to get down in the muck that is Facebook ads these days with the disaster that that has become. You want to take advantage when people actually show up. And if you give people a chance, 1 in 6 will spend more money with you if you send them a personalized, targeted, relevant upsell offer, which is what OneClick Upsell makes it super easy to do. You can do it pre-purchase, post-purchase, give them lots of different options. It makes it incredibly easy, and they've helped store owners generate over $200 million in additional revenue. So if you want a slice of that and you want to get started, you can get started really quickly with them in just a few minutes, get your first upsell up and running. Check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And when you think about how are you getting traffic today, 2013, you're probably thinking Facebook, you're probably thinking TikTok, Instagram, maybe direct mail, maybe you're doing some email marketing, you should be if you're not, of course. A lot of different options, but especially on the paid side, one that I would bet heavily you are not using is LinkedIn ads. LinkedIn's kind of interesting, kind of dark horse platform, at least for D2C, and maybe for good reason, we'll find out. But I came across somebody who knew it very well, and I've kind of been interested in some of these non-traditional or at least non-obvious ad platforms, and wanted to learn a little bit more about it. Even if it's not something that is the perfect platform, maybe there's other fringe uses for it in business. And came across AJ Wilcox, who is the owner of B2Linked.com. He's a LinkedIn ads agency. He's an expert in the space. He's managed over $150 million in ad spend. He's also the host of the LinkedIn ad show. And wanted to have him on to talk about all this and kind of just understand the platform a little bit and see if there's anything there worth exploring. AJ, excited to dive into something I know know nothing about. And thanks for being willing to come on.
Well, Andrew, I'm so excited that you invited me. Thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah, of course. And I think we should start with getting the elephant in the room out of the way, which is we're going to talk about the elephant in just a second. Before that, I want to talk about LinkedIn and my assumptions about it. Like, I'll go over to LinkedIn. Personally, and this is complete my own bias. If I'm online, I am on Twitter a lot. Easily my drug of choice when it comes to social networks. Occasionally Instagram and, Facebook maybe once or twice a month, more than anything, just to check and see what's happening, but almost exclusively Twitter and Instagram. So when I think about LinkedIn, when I'm on there maybe once a month to go over there for some reason, I'm always surprised when I load it up, because I think about LinkedIn as like, okay, this is a way for me to if maybe I want to meet someone, I can see who in my network is connected to them. It's like a virtual business card. That's how I think about it. Very professional, very kind of like white collar, not really a social network of sorts, but I'll go over there and I'll see like there's a decent amount of people and entrepreneurial type folks posting in the thread, kind of in the activity feed. And that always surprises me. So anyway, I want to get your take on it. Like, I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a pretty unfair, kind of the very corporate stodgy take on LinkedIn? Is that unfair? Is it being used by a pretty wide variety of people for connecting in 2023?
Andrew, I don't think it's unfair, but it has changed considerably over the last, call it 10 years. Back in 2012, the LinkedIn website, the platform, all it was just a job search site. It was like you put your resume in the form of a profile and that's it. Like, it's where recruiters played and nothing else. But then in 2013, they launched a news feed. And that was the beginning of where it actually started to become a little bit more of a social network. It wasn't just a Rolodex where you keep all your business cards and post your resume. Now people are actually having conversations. What was so interesting is all of the hullabaloo that was going on around Facebook, Facebook's algorithm, this has been years and years ago, but Facebook had so many people who were willing to post that they ended up with too much stuff in the feed, and they had to implement this algorithm that would simplify your feed and take stuff out. And it was, what's so funny is LinkedIn implemented the same algorithm, but instead it actually put stuff in. So LinkedIn, this is back in 2013 and it still continues today, became the easiest network in the world to go viral on. And that's why I love it. Like when I post the same thing on Meta, or I guess on Facebook, on Twitter and on LinkedIn, inevitably LinkedIn as an audience, I get 20 times more views than I got on any other network. And so LinkedIn has become my drug of choice, not because it's better than Twitter, not because it's better than Facebook, but just because that's the platform that gives me the audience. And it's really cool. We can talk about the mechanisms behind that virality.
Interesting. So I love this. You mentioned the easiest to go viral on. Now, are you talking about just organically posting in the feed? Are you talking about paid? Are you talking about, I'm guessing you're probably talking about going viral organically on the platform, right?
Yes. Yep. This is just organic. The reason why this happens, I'll give you this little disclaimer. LinkedIn's the easiest network in the world to go viral on if you're not underage and look good in a bathing suit. Like that's, if you fit that criteria, great. TikTok, maybe Instagram, LinkedIn, if you look like me, LinkedIn's your network. And here's how it works. Whenever someone likes or comments on a post, especially comments, then all of a sudden that post is eligible to be seen by that person, whoever took that social action. It's now eligible to be seen by their network. So if I have 500 connections on LinkedIn, it's not uncommon for me to have my posts get 1,000 or 1,500 or 2,000 views. And those views are all coming from everyone who comments and likes. And then now there's comments and likes coming from their network. So your network's network. And that's the beauty of LinkedIn, is it's this viral reach, as long as you're good at getting people to engage with your post. If your posts are not engage worthy, yeah, that's when it's going to look like every other network.
Interesting. Okay. So I think about like LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn profile. I have over 500 contacts. I have no idea how many more. And I've always tried on LinkedIn. When I look at the connect requests, if I don't recognize someone's name or their face, I just don't add them, because I genuinely want it to be an actual, like, it's so valuable to me. For example, when I'm like, I'd love to connect with this person, I go into LinkedIn, I see them, they tell me, oh, hey, these people in your network are connected with them, so I can reach out. And like, it's actually warm intros, of course. Warm intros are probably one of the most valuable things I use LinkedIn for. So anyway, I already have, so you're saying, even though I've never been active on LinkedIn or been very, almost never, I almost post nothing on there, because I've built that up over the years, I could go in, start posting things that will show up, and it has the amplification effect potentially that you could take advantage. Do I need to warm up the account, or is there that's a weird way of phrasing it, but there's potential right now for it?
Yeah, there's definitely potential right now. You use the phrase warming up, which is perfect from an ad perspective. Like, I think there is something to that. So if you go back to LinkedIn and you've never posted before, mm-hmm. a bunch of your connections, they don't remember you. You're not top of mind. And so they're probably not going to be liking and commenting nearly as much. But if you go and spend some time, let's say you set a timer for 5 minutes a day, I'm going to go on and I'm going to comment on stuff I want to comment on and like things that other people are doing who are part of my network. They're going to see that you've engaged with their stuff. Then the next time you post, they're a lot more likely. So there is some warming up that you can do with your network. The same formula still works, even though it's just going to get better over time with that warming or seasoning.
Got it. Okay. And we'll talk about the paid side a little bit further down and maybe focus on products and if that's a viable strategy, but I want to focus on this a little bit longer. So what kind of content works best? I'm guessing professional, business, entrepreneurship, maybe not. What kind of things work best in the feed, or does it need to stay business focused, or is it because so many people are on LinkedIn that you can really, what works best?
Yeah, it's a really awesome question. I do think it needs to tie back to business, but the less that it is about business, the more it provides your followers, your connections, with a bit of a mental break. So if you imagine, if you're just looking through your newsfeed on LinkedIn, there's going to be lots of corporate speak, lots of pictures of people with suits and ties. if what you're providing is a break from that, it's more personal. It's more authentic. It doesn't follow the same thing. People are going to be a lot more likely to sit on it and go, oh, this is great. I actually needed a break. So we find things that are intensely personal, intensely authentic. Those things tend to do better than they even would on Facebook.
Because it's contrasts so well with all the other stuff that's coming down the pipe on the feed. Okay.
And the truth is that everyone on LinkedIn, even though they're there to be in a business mindset, they're all humans. And those humans, like, we like things that humans like. We like memes. We like comedy. We like things that are funny. And so if your business stuff has elements of that, it's going to get more attention.
Interesting. Okay. Any particular medium that works especially well? Written text, static images, video? Does it just depend? Like, are all of those fair game, or is this one outperform the other?
Yeah, I've read studies. Every year, there's a couple LinkedIn organic pros who publish studies of, like, here's what tends to work best. Last I checked, the type of post that worked best was text only. So no image, no link or anything. It's just you writing. Next to that would be an image. And then probably after that would be something like video. But video is so subjective. Like, you can put anything in a video. Probably video that gets to the point very quickly is awesome on LinkedIn.
Got it. Okay. And how good is the organic reach? I mean, you mentioned that there's a mechanism where if you post and somebody else likes it or comments, then that will also share to their feeds. But if you've got, let's say you have just 500 followers to make it easy. We all know Facebook is just notorious. I mean, their organic reach is just, you know, so minuscule at this point. Has that happened on LinkedIn, or can you expect to reach a reasonable percentage of your feed or your followers if you actually, you know, if you post organically?
Yeah. The catch is that on LinkedIn, people don't spend nearly as much time as they do on the other networks, but you will, as long as you do have followers and connections who are more active on the profile or on the platform, you will see more and more interaction there. To give you an example, and it's a funny example because the timing's really good. We just did what I call comment gating. So we created this new guide. It's this advanced advertiser's guide, like the ultimate advanced guide to LinkedIn ads. And I put out as a post on LinkedIn and said, hey, comment below if you want a copy of this for free. And that one post, I only have about 31,000 people who follow me. This one post got over 150,000 views. So 30,000 seems like a lot. Like, I've worked for years and years to curate that. But to get five times that many views is crazy.
Yeah.
First of all, and then second of all, like, I ended up, scraping out of there, trying to figure out who it was who'd requested this guide. We had over 950 unique people. I mean, what else could I have done to get 950 leads? If I paid for those leads, I would have paid so much money, but this came for free, all because of LinkedIn's, you know, free virality.
Yeah. Interesting. How do you talk a little bit about the ad? So we've got the organic, you're posting, it kind of makes sense. Talk a little bit about the ad network there, how it works, and then maybe you can finish that thought with, do you see any e-commerce brands actually selling products effectively on LinkedIn?
Yes, excellent question. So LinkedIn ads, the two things that you need to know, number one, the targeting is amazing for business professionals. We can target by, like, someone's job title and what size their company is in, and what industry their company's in. And we've got something like 27 different ways that we can target business professionals. So obviously that makes it great for business to business. But the other thing you need to know is we pay dearly for that targeting. The average cost per click, if you're targeting in North America, is between $8 to $14.
Ooh.
So for those of you in e-commerce and D2C, you're thinking, like, man, we would never pay close to that. And I totally agree. Like, it would be really difficult to have a return on your investment if all of that money was eating up your profits there. So, you know, we don't see very many e-commerce brands advertising successfully on LinkedIn. And that's the reason, is it's the costs. There are a couple plays, which I'm sure we can talk about, but for the most part, yeah, there's a reason it's the costs.
So LinkedIn, if I was going to title, you know, write a summary for this and the 595 Pareto's principle, so to speak, LinkedIn, great for organic reach. Awful if you were trying to do paid ads to sell, low margin, or let's say even, you know, lower LTV products. So
exactly. Yep. It's all got to be about margin and LTV with the ads.
Interesting. Okay. Is that the same? Is there a if you do type something organically in your feed and you want to boost it, well, I'm guessing that's a lot of ads probably come up in the feed. So same thing, like if you want to just expand your reach for and boost your organic post, same thing. Still really expensive, even on like a CPM basis, if you're not trying to get clicks or branding, still you're going to be paying through the nose for stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. There's so you mentioned about boosting, and this is really cool. Right now, you can only boost a post that it was shared from a company. And if you're looking through your newsfeed and you see like, oh, hey, it's my girl Jada and my guy Mike, like you're going to be responding to them, liking and commenting because you know who they are. But if you see like, oh, IBM comes up, you're like, yeah, why would I interact with that? Like no one at IBM cares or knows that I exist. So company pages just don't get near the same inclusion organically, the same engagement. But LinkedIn is actually doing a beta right now, which I wish I could have gotten in. They only had 30 companies who were part of this beta, where you're going to be able to boost individuals' posts. So now all of a sudden this gets really cool for influencers because you're now able to advertise a personal post. So like that post that I told you about that got 150,000 views, it's littered with social proof. I mean, there's over 1,000 or over 2,000 comments now on that post. If I were then able to boost that same post to others who fit my target audience, they're going to be like, oh yeah. And then now all of a sudden I start getting leads from exactly the right kinds of companies. So whether there's a play there or not for e-commerce, I don't know. But I have seen quite a few people organically who represent D2C or e-commerce brands do really well on LinkedIn.
Interesting. Yeah. So not great for selling probably the vast majority of physical products for people listening. But most people listening, well, the vast majority of people listening are business owners or entrepreneurial minded. What are some of the ways that they could potentially use the LinkedIn platform and or the ad network for their business? It could be anything related to, and obviously it's like just networking and kind of the super obvious ones out of the way, but what are some of the other ways to be useful for people, for entrepreneurs and business owners where they're not thinking or using it right now?
Yeah, the biggest piece I can think of is hitting buyers and purchasers who could become distributors for your product. So imagine this, you can specifically target those who are buyers at Walmart with ads. And it's not hard and it's not particularly expensive. So if your D2C or e-commerce brand is trying to get in with Walmart, ditto Target, ditto, I mean, any grocery store chain, we don't know how active they are on LinkedIn, but you can set it to where you're only going to pay if one of those clicks. Then a relationship like that is well worth the lifetime value that you know, paying $8 to $14 a click. So I do think that there's a play there if there's a play for you to work through a distributor.
Interesting. What about recruiting if you're trying to find fantastic talent? I know one person in particular, maybe we'll link up to his episode, Rock from Jim Reapers. He's recruited almost all of his members off of LinkedIn, just like slicking through the platform. So thoughts on the best way to do that? I mean, I think he kind of went through and did it organically and just found people and messaged them and focused on having a really phenomenal company page that looked like the company was fantastic. And then also, I think it's, man, and I say this as someone who has a horrifically bad personal LinkedIn page. I haven't gotten updated to that for, I think it'd be painful to see what it looked like I was working on these days. Anyway, he used it really effectively organically to recruit. What would be the, is that something you see many people using it for? Do they use it primarily to the LinkedIn jobs built in, like kind of the dedicated LinkedIn jobs function mostly for that? Are there ways to do that organically? Are there ways to do that kind of interesting way with paid ads? Is recruiting, how big of an option is it for that? And how should people do that cost effectively?
Yeah, LinkedIn ads is great for recruiting. So I'll say this, when you look at where LinkedIn makes their money, this has been the case for the last 15 years, 60% of LinkedIn's revenue comes from their recruiter product, which is essentially a beefed up profile, a personal profile, where you can then reach out to people and say, hey, we're hiring for this role. Are you interested? So There's obviously value there. On the recruiter side, they also have ads that you can get your LinkedIn rep to run for you. But we find that when we run ads against LinkedIn's recruiter, even their internal folks, we always win. So Here's the value in recruiting on LinkedIn through LinkedIn ads. We can target the people who already have the skills and experience that we're looking for. So they have this job title, they're in this area. We can show ads in their newsfeed and we're not bothering them. So if you shoot messages to people organically, there's quite a few people who are just so tired of recruiters reaching out to them that they're not exactly kind or they just ignore. But this way, we're showing ads in people's newsfeed saying, hey, you look qualified for this position. Would you be interested in applying? And then if they click, then you're paying $8 to $14 a click. So it's maybe costly for that interaction. But if you have a great experience for them, maybe it's a landing page talking all about how important this role is and the company culture, you're probably going to have a 50% plus conversion. I mean, we'll call it a conversion rate, but application rate. And now you're getting, you don't have to be reaching out to people manually, which is super annoying and time consuming. You're just getting these applications coming in and they feel really special and you know they're already qualified. So I think ads is a great way to do recruiting on LinkedIn for just your own employees.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. If you're listening to this episode and enjoying it, then I've got to tell you about our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands. The secret sauce, as the name implies, is that everyone inside, we vet everyone to make sure they have real-world experience running an e-commerce brand and struggle with the same kind of things that you do if that's the position you're in. And why is that important? Well, it means you get fast, on-point answers to your most important questions. So if you've got somebody that HR issue and you're worried about letting someone go, but you're worried about a lawsuit or you're trying to figure out the best ERP to implement or maybe you're trying to understand marketing techniques, you can post a message to our form and get answers within hours, sometimes minutes, from experts who know this stuff. You get to plug into an amazing network of e-commerce entrepreneurs worldwide across the United States and the globe that you can connect with when you're traveling for meetups and get invites to member-only events like ECF Live. And then finally, you can avoid costly hiring and software mistakes by tapping into our review directory of over 10,000 reviews for agencies and e-commerce software tools. I mean, it's really hard to find unbiased reviews online right now. So often they're either paid for or they're affiliate links. All of our reviews are completely unbiased. So when you go down the road of hiring a new ad agency or looking for that new, you know, ERP software, you have a lot more confidence that you're not going to be wasting the next 3 or 4 months of your life on an expensive project. So if that sounds interesting to you, come join us. You can learn more and apply ecommercefuel.com, and we'd love to have you inside. All right, let's get back to the discussion.
When I think about hiring, the two hardest parts about hiring is just hard in general. Two of the things that are most challenging is one, trying to find the right people, and two, wading through the massive amounts of applicants that are not the right people, like, you know, narrowing down the list, right? So if you could hyper target, get fewer, better applicants, it just saves you so much time and makes it, you know, you can spend your time on the valuable parts, like trying to get to know the applicants.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. Any advice or thoughts on if people are going to be running ads in terms of tips for bidding or budgets or campaigns or anything like that that might be unique to LinkedIn versus other paid platforms?
Yes. So this is especially comparing against Meta. When you're on Meta, if you go through and build your first ad set, if you don't know what you're doing and you just kind of take the default, you're going to do fine. If you go through and try to do the same thing on LinkedIn, you are going to get hosed. And that's because LinkedIn's default recommendations, their best practices, are really, really bad for you. So here's the quick little like pitfalls to avoid. When you first create your campaign, you get to set up your targeting, which is cool. Right below that, there will be a little box that's auto-checked called Enable Audience Expansion. And what it is, I mean, we're already paying a premium to advertise on LinkedIn. Allowing them to show our ads to people outside of our targeting is ludicrous. And I can't believe that it's a default option. But anyway, same kind of thing on Facebook. I've heard, like, you don't want to use their audience expansion. Same thing on LinkedIn. The next one is the audience network. So Facebook actually pioneered this. I guess Google did, but Facebook is very, very well known for it as well. This ability to show ads to people when they're not just on Facebook. Now they're around the web. LinkedIn has the same thing. They tried really hard to keep the network really high quality, but we just haven't seen. And on LinkedIn, this option is far less expensive than being on network. So I want to love it. Like, you can get traffic for 50 cents a click, but boy, we just have not found quality results coming from it. So I recommend unchecking that. Finally, in the bidding, I recommend starting by only being willing to pay per click, because otherwise, if it's not working, you're going to be paying the network no matter what. If you set manually to, I only want to pay per click, LinkedIn's going to give you this range that's like, we suggest you're bidding $20 to $60 per click. And like your first clue is, no, that's crazy. Start out by bidding much lower than what they're recommended is. I like to start mine around $7. And the trick is, if you have a, let's call it a $50 per day budget, if you're bidding $7 and you spend $50 every day, then you just beat the system. You just found the minimum amount that you need to pay in order to spend your entire budget. So keep in mind, LinkedIn, like, they'll tell you that the higher you bid, the better quality people you get in front of, but that's not the case from our testing. If you do a good job targeting, you're only going to be reaching the best people anyway. So bid lower than what LinkedIn recommends. Those are all the pitfalls to avoid as you're setting up your first campaign.
Interesting. Can you give me a sense, if you could please, how detailed some of the targeting is on this? Let's use a hypothetical. Let's say somebody wants to hire an SEO manager, and they want to be able to build out their entire campaign. Let's say two roles: SEO manager, who has, you know, a lot of experience with that, growing an SEO portfolio. Maybe they want someone else who's really experienced in a COO that is experienced with ERP implementation management. Someone who also has a lot of good, like, soft personal skills, which is hard to measure, I think, unless you're probably interviewing, but I'm going to throw it out there to make it a little trickier. So rockstar COO that can bring over, can port you to NetSuite, and somebody who can totally overhaul and take the reins and build up your SEO strategy from scratch with not a whole lot of handholding. Like, how would you think about, what are the type of categories you can target that would hopefully get you closer to finding those people?
Beautiful. Okay. So for the SEO one, I would probably go right to job titles, and I would just go into job title and type SEO and then just see what all the options are. And you can decide which makes sense. So some will be SEO analyst, some will be SEO specialist, SEO manager. I mean, you can decide what level makes sense here. Target that. You can also do years of experience. So if you want someone who has quite a bit of experience in SEO, you might say, they have to have at least 4 years of experience or 6 years of experience. You can narrow by industry. So if you do industry of marketing and advertising, that's going to get you someone who probably already works in an agency. And so if you are an agency, it's great. You just show how much better you are than their current agency. Or if you're an in-house gig, it's a lot easier to pull those people over, because usually in-house gigs can pay more than an agency can. And of course, you can throw your geography on top of there if you just want someone in your same state or your hometown, or if you're looking for someone nationwide, layer that on, and that's probably going to be pretty good. Any thoughts, questions about the SEO role?
Quick question. Is there any kind of, I'm guessing I know the answer to this, but it's a dream request, and so it'd be amazing if it's true, any kind of salary or compensation level? Like, does LinkedIn give you any kind of sense of like, hey, this is like, is there any way to get a sense of what, I mean, you can roughly know, right? Like a VP of, you know, VP at Amazon is going to be making more than, you know, your content marketer at, you know, mybluesshorts.com, whatever it is. But any kind of guidance it can give you on compensation levels for what people are making, that would be really cool if you could filter that way. I'm guessing no.
That is really cool. You might be able to do something like that on the recruiter side if you were paying LinkedIn, you know, $20,000 a year to get that license. But on the ad side, I think maybe what you could do is target by company size. So if you, let's say you're targeting a director of SEO, a director of SEO at a 10-person company is going to be very differently compensated than a director of SEO at a 500-person company. So you might be able to segment it and say, hey, how about we're going to offer pretty great compensation for a VP of, or a director of SEO at a small company. And so we can target just the smaller companies. Does that give you an idea? Is that helpful?
Totally. That totally helps. Okay, great. Thank you. How does that work from when you pay them? Like, are you paying just to show ads to them? Do you only pay when people reach out to you and contact you for the position? How does it actually, on the recruiting or the job side, how do you actually, is it people who apply for the position, that's what you pay for?
What I would do is pay per click. So you send this traffic from your ad saying, hey, you look qualified, would you want to apply for this? Send them to a page where they could apply. Okay. So you'd pay for every person who clicked. You might pay that $8 to $14 a click. And then a certain percentage of them would apply. So if you do the calculation, you could figure out how much you pay per qualified applicant. But that's the way I would start. I do wish you could pay per conversion. Like, I know at least 10 years ago, Google started doing that. LinkedIn doesn't have that yet, but maybe someday.
Yeah. Fantastic. AJ, this has been very cool. Thank you. Like, it's obviously not going to be the platform for pushing product, but for recruiting, for organic reach of content, for potentially like getting in front of retail buyers, for a host of other kind of things, very cool platform. And especially on the organic side, did not realize, how powerful it was to in terms of virality component. So you have, like we mentioned at the top, you have the LinkedIn Ad Show, which is a podcast. So if this sounds at all interesting to you, make sure to check that out. Geeking out about all things LinkedIn ads and reaching people that way. And then also b2linked.com, which is the letter B, the number 2, linked.com. It's a service. So you run LinkedIn ads for people. Talk a little bit about that if you would. And also your pricing. Kudos to you, man. I landed on your website. You had the little voice pop up and I played that and listened to it. The same way like podcasting can build rapport, I think. It was cool because I listened to that for some reason. You lured me in with your voice. Not some reason. You got a great voice for radio as well as a face for TV. But anyway, it was a cool, I was cool. That looped me in a way that a lot of things don't. And your pricing was fantastic. Like you actually are publicly, you're very public about your pricing, which I appreciate. Anyway, that's a mouthful, but talk a little bit about what you do there, who you're a good fit for and how people can get in touch with you.
Oh yeah, I appreciate that. Very early on, you know, I've spent most of my career in B2B and I absolutely hate going when I'm looking for a service provider and you look at their pricing pages and it's always contact us for pricing. So very first thing I did as a company, I was like, all right, I want to make it really easy so that when someone comes to find me, they can find the price and they're not searching forever. So I do appreciate that when I'm looking at vendors. So we try to do the same thing for them. But yeah, like you mentioned, we're an ad agency. LinkedIn ads is all we do. So we work with clients. We take them on where, I mean, our default package is an unlimited. No matter how many ads we have to write and create and launch, no matter how many campaigns need to be created, we do whatever it takes to get success. So that's kind of our headlining package. Yeah, really easy. If you're interested in talking to us, just go to b2linked.com/apply and we'd love to hop on a call and explore the opportunity with you.
Very cool. Cap this off in tradition of the show, we'd love to do a lightning round. So I'm going to fire a handful of questions at you. Feel free to just fire back your short, sweet answers. And it's always a fun way to end. So first question, how would you describe the business or e-commerce environment right now?
Oh, I actually don't even know because I don't play too much in e-commerce. I would call it always competitive and like trying to climb up a down elevator or escalator.
What's one of the fondest memories from your childhood?
It's not super fond, but it's the first one that comes to mind. I was playing basketball and I decided I wanted to do a back jam on our like driveway basketball hoop. And I ended up getting my teeth caught in the net. So those of you who are on video, you can see my two front teeth are dead. They're like a yellower color compared to the rest being white. That's because I ruined my teeth by getting them caught in a basketball net.
You're watching too much NBA Jam. Go out on the court. You live in the Salt Lake City metro right now. If you weren't living there, where would you live and why?
You know, I love being able to work from home. And so anywhere that has a really good internet connection, but was somewhat remote, I love outdoor activities. So I know from your background, you lived in Bozeman, Montana. I would totally check out something like Northern Idaho, Montana, one of those kind of places, as long as I had fiber, probably.
Got it. What's one of the most interesting LinkedIn ad campaigns that you have run? You don't have to name the company, but like what you were trying to either promote or sell or hire.
By far the most interesting was we had a client who, they were basically like an Uber for helicopters. They would fly a helicopter from Orange County, California into LA and back every morning. And they charged like $250 for a ride. And they came to us and said, we want to recruit more people who want to take this service. And I told them, I was like, all right, first of all, your lifetime value here is like $1,000 or something, maybe higher, but like that just doesn't work with the cost of LinkedIn. And second of all, you're not going to find people who are willing to put their credit card in the very first time they've heard of your company. And so I tried to like scare them off, but they still wanted to run. Boy, they proved me wrong. It was not hard. Like we were getting cold signups all over the place and it had a positive ROI for people taking $250 helicopter rides. So I stood corrected.
Wow. Interesting. What's the hardest part of your business?
Because every client is different. Every audience is different. Every sales team is different. Every every sales cycle is different. It's really difficult when clients come to us and say, hey, this isn't working. What are your other clients doing that is working? We go, well, they're not like you in any way. So we can't necessarily, we can pull some ideas. But I think the hardest thing is like, everyone is unique. So we have to create a unique strategy for everyone.
How much money in the bank is enough? And this is kind of, you can answer it one of two ways. You can either answer it as, I have X amount of cash or liquid, you know, investments that can generate money for me. So I've had this lump sum in the bank, or you can answer annual income. If I got an annuity of X amount of dollars for the rest of my life, didn't have to worry about money. Like if I had more of this money or more of this income, like if I had more, I mean, obviously it'd be nice, but if I didn't get any more than this, I'd still be totally content and be able to live a great life. What would that number or amount be?
I decided a while back that if I had 8 million in the bank or in investments, then I would just retire immediately. I would never stop working, but I would just do a lot more of what was interesting to me at the time. So yeah, that's where I'd love to retire at.
8 million, love it. How many hours a week do you work?
I recently got married, so I've been spending a lot more time at home. I would say usually I'm like a 55, 60 hour a week worker. But as of recently, I've been actually slightly under 40.
And then last question, what's your number one hobby and you can't say work?
Oh, I love cars. I love anything that goes fast. I recently got into off-roading, and so I have a dirt bike and a side-by-side, and I love to go tear it up in the desert. But ever since I was a little kid, I would study the 0-60 times and top speeds and prices of Ferraris and Aston Martins. So yeah, that's gotta be my top hobby.
So somebody hands you $250,000 cash. They say, you have to spend this on a car in the next month. Otherwise, it's going to disappear. One car. What car would you buy for that ballpark range? Like obviously not like a crazy $2 million car, but like a reasonable, well, still not reasonable. It's $250,000 for a car, but what would you buy in that price point?
Oh, this is the best question anyone has ever asked me. So thank you, Andrew. The Aston Martin DB9. Back when it came in stick shift, I'm sure it would come in less than the 250K. That's my dream car. Absolutely.
Nice. When you get the 8 mil, that's going to be the first purchase on top of that. Yeah, I love it. Well, AJ, thank you. This was super fun. It was interesting learning about LinkedIn and with so many facets I had no idea about. So much more incentivized now to try it out for organic, among other things. So again, b2linked.com is the name of AJ's agency. You can help you get LinkedIn ads created, spun up, targeted, and running quickly. That's the letter B, the number 2, linked.com. Also the host of the LinkedIn ads show, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. So AJ, so good talking. Thanks for being willing to share. And appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Andrew. Have an awesome one.
Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the e-commerce fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help, access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that, you know, founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Big thanks to One-Click Upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted, high-converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And also to Fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest-rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.